Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 29th, 2019. We'll start with a story that's titled, I Am They to Perform at DHS. This is written by Christopher Moricle in Danville. I Am They, a Christian pop acoustic band, is prepared to demonstrate to their fans that it means to have one's what it means to have one's feet on the rock. The group will perform at 6 p.m. Saturday, September 14th at Danville High School's Dick Van Dyke Auditorium. We're excited to bring in an unforgettable evening of music and ministry with the Trial and Triumph Tour, said Sean Owen, president of the Danville High School Choral Booster Club. I Am They is a Dove Award nominee, so to be able to bring them to Danville, we really think it's going to be a blessing. Members of the band, which includes Matthew Hine, Sarah Palmer, Justin Shin, Abby Parker, and John McConnell, are a group of people that have come together in ministry after histories that have involved pornography addiction, divorces, and drug arrests. Their second album, Trial and Triumph, has come as a result of the trials and offers songs of deliverance and worship. The biggest singles so far have included My Feet Are on the Rock and Scars. We all tend to hide the ugliest parts of our lives, reads a bio on the band's website, www.imtheyband.com. We bury our bruises under layers of perfectionism and pride. I Am They is peeling back those layers, not hiding their scars, but gratefully wearing them as marks of their own redemption stories. This new album is an audible communion. Also appearing at the show will be Dan Bremnes and Ellie Limebear. We're just excited about bringing them in this year, Owen said. It's a little bit different than what we've done before. All proceeds will benefit the Danville High School Choral Music Program. Tickets can be purchased in one of three price levels at either Mad Goat Coffee location at 2601 North Vermilion or 701 South Gilbert Street or online at www.danvillechoirs.org. VIP tickets, which includes a meet and greet, are available only online. Early entry tickets are $25 and general admission tickets are $20. Danville is only the second stop on the new tour. It's really just going to be an evening of passion and power, Owen said. People that come, no one is going to forget this. Next story is titled Teary-Eyed, Vietnam Veteran Touched by Stranger's Thanks Trip. It's Teary-Eyed Trip, Vietnam Veteran Touched by Stranger's Thanks. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. Although some say grown men don't cry, Army veteran Ron Gash can attest that that's not always true, especially with patriotism involved. A recent Land of Lincoln honor flight trip brought tears to the eyes of Gash and other veterans as they visited memorials in their honor and accepted handshakes from strangers. Gash, 71, who served in the Vietnam War, said, "It was a whole lot different than when I got home in 1970. My family was glad to see me, but other than that, nothing." People cheered the veterans when they landed at Ronald Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., and when they returned to Springfield's Abraham Lincoln's Capital Airport. Along the way, strangers noticed the Land of Lincoln hats and shirts and stopped to relay their thanks. Gash of South Danville was one of 93 veterans who boarded the Honor Flight on August 20th for the day-long trip to D.C. On board were five World War II vets, 29 Korean vets, War vets and 59 Vietnam War era veterans. Gash was drafted in the Army in December of 1968 and was trained as a generator mechanic. He served almost a year in Vietnam working on generators, driving a truck, and hauling supplies to men in the field. He was a specialist E-4 when he was discharged in November of 1970. On the honor flight, his guardian was his son, Jason of Danville. They visited the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War memorials, as well as Arlington National Cemetery for the changing of the guard ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns. Other stops included the Lincoln Memorial, the National Air and Space Museum in Chantilly, Virginia, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, and the U.S. Air Force Memorial. On the way home, each veteran enjoyed mail call when they were presented with a packet of letters and cards written by family, friends, and strangers. That was the most emotional part, Gash said, as he surveyed the dozens of envelopes. This brought a lot of tears to my eyes, he said. He added jokingly, I didn't know I had so many friends. He wasn't the only one to get emotional. When the veterans read their letters, the plane got very quiet, he said. His favorite part of the trip was visiting the Air and Space Museum, where he was amazed to see the Discovery, Enola Gay, and his favorite, the WW2P-38. He also was fascinated with the engines, as that's his specialty, and was intrigued with a 36-cylinder engine designed for a large plane, but never used. A pleasant surprise at the Lincoln Memorial was stepping off the bus and seeing Beth Sherman, who lives in D.C., and who is the daughter of his cousin, Marilyn Sherman of Oakwood. She accompanied the Gashes to the Vietnam and Korean War sites. Gash saw the traveling Vietnam Memorial wall when it came to Danville a few years ago. Gash had been to Arlington National Cemetery when he was stationed at Fort Belvoir near D.C. in 1968. He also was present for the procession when President Dwight Eisenhower died. As for the changing of the guard and lowering of the flag, he said, it's something to see. It brings tears to your eyes. The only glitch on the trip was an almost four-hour delay leaving D.C. because of storms on the East Coast. The plane returned to Springfield before 2 a.m., and Gash was surprised to see a crowd of people welcoming the flight home. I was just amazed that all these people would be there at 2 o'clock in the morning to greet us, he recalled. People were shaking the vets' hands, holding up patriotic signs, and cheering for them. Gash enjoyed the trip so much that he was already recommended it to several people. Busy life. Gash grew up east of Westville. His father farmed land in that is now Forest Glen Preserve and attended Georgetown High School. He was working at Berkeley Davis when he was drafted and returned there for a short time after his discharge. He also held odd jobs until he followed in his dad's footsteps and got a job at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. He worked in nursing as a truck driver in the plumbing shop and as a mechanic at the garage before retiring in 2003 after 33 years at the VA. Gash now works one day a week at Big R Rentals. He enjoys taking boat trips, including the Great Circle Route with a friend, and volunteers at the Vermilion County Museum with his wife, Donna. He's a member of the Westville American Legion and the Westville Sportsman's Club and is a 32nd degree Mason. He and his wife have two children, Jason of Danville and daughter Nyla Penzilius of Roselle, five grandchildren and two great-grandchildren with one on the way. About the Honor Flight. Honor Flight is free to veterans, but guardians undergo training and pay a fee. Veteran applications continue to be accepted with flight priority given to the following order. World War II enlisted by December 31st of 1946, then the Korean War era, January 1st, 47 to December 31st of 57, followed by the Vietnam War era from January 1st of 58 to May 7th of 75. Any certified terminally ill veteran should contact Land of Lincoln directly. Because every veteran flies with a guardian escort, applications for future guardians are also being accepted. This may be any able-bodied person 18 to 70 years old, except for veterans who have already been honored with a flight or a spouse or significant other of a veteran on the flight. The guardian fee includes Land of Lincoln training, cap and t-shirt, round-trip flight, bus tour during the day, meals and snacks, refreshments, and the privilege of spending the day honoring the veterans. Land of Lincoln is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that receives no government funding. It honors the veteran with a trip to D.C. due to generous donations, sponsorships, fundraising events, merchandise sales, and supporting efforts of the many local businesses, individuals, and organizations within its service area. Since its inception in 2009, Land Lincoln Honor Flight has served 4,361 Illinois veterans in 56 flights. Next story, Danville police investigating overnight shootings, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. The Danville Police Department is investigating three shootings shooting incidents Tuesday night in which four people, including two teens, were injured. According to the DPD, around 8:45 p.m. on Tuesday, Danville police responded to the area of the 900 block of Moore Street in reference to a victim of a gunshot wound. Upon arrival, officers located a 17-year-old with a gunshot wound to his leg. The victim stated he was walking in the area of the 900 block of Moore Street when he heard gunshots and was struck in the leg. The victim said he didn't know where the shots came from and he didn't see who was shooting. The victim was transported to an area hospital for treatment of his non-life-threatening wound. At around 8:58 p.m. Tuesday, Danville police responded to the area of the 100 block of Nicholas Street for a report of shots fired. Upon arrival, officers located a 15-year-old with a gunshot wound to his lower leg. The victim stated he was sitting in front of the residence in the 100 block of Nicholas Street when someone started shooting from a gray-colored car. The victim stated he ran from the scene and was struck in the lower leg by the gunfire. The victim said he only saw the vehicle and was unable to provide a description of the suspect. The victim was transported to an area hospital for treatment of his non-life-threatening wound. Then, around 10:57 p.m. Tuesday, Danville police responded to the area of the unit block of South State Street for the report of shots fired. Upon arrival, officers began investigating the scene when they learned that two victims had arrived at OSF Medical Center with gunshot wounds. Officers responded to the hospital and made contact with the victims, who were two 20-year-old Danville Mills, one with a gunshot wound to the shoulder and the other with a gunshot wound to his finger. Both victims said they were in the unit block of South State Street when someone started shooting from an unknown location. The victims were unable to provide a description of the suspect. Both victims received treatment for their non-life-threatening wounds, and no other injuries were reported for the incident. As part of these investigations, Danville police are looking into if any of these shootings are related. The investigation into these incidents continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Anyone who has information regarding the crimes is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Next story, judge sentences Shepherd to 20 years. And this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Excuse me. Giselle Shumpert was sentenced Wednesday to 20 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. At a contested sentencing hearing, the state requested Shumpert, 19 of Danville, be sentenced to between 25 to 30 years in the IDOC, according to a press release issued by State's Attorney Jacqueline M. Lacey's office. 3 years of mandatory supervised release was also part of the sentence. According to the release, on January 24, 2019, a Vermilion County jury returned a guilty verdict against Shumpert, who was tried as an adult for the offense of home invasion caused injury. During a four-day jury trial, evidence was presented that on March 10th of 2017, Shumpert held a handgun to a 28-year-old male victim and another 26-year-old female victim. He then battered both victims and stole their property, including both of their vehicles. While inside the home, Shumpert also attempted to force the female victim to perform oral sex on him. He also caused injury to both victims, according to Lacey's office. Evidence was presented during the trial, including identification of Shumpert by the victim, as well as video evidence of Shumpert with the stolen property. Shumpert was a juvenile at the time he committed the crime. Lacey requested he be tried as an adult. This defendant's criminal acts robbed the victims of their ability to be safe in their own home, and regardless of the age of the defendant, when permitted by law, we will request that our most violent juvenile offenders be tried and sentenced as adults, Lacey said. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Mary Louise Wolf, 61, of Danville, passed away in her home with her daughters by her side on Tuesday, August 27th. A memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, August 31st at the Batestown United Methodist Church at 2224 Batestown Road in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Patty Weiss. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery at a later date. Friends and family are welcome to come to the church starting at 9:38 a.m. to visit. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center is entrusted with the arrangements. Gordon Craig Speisterbach, 62, of Cayuga, passed away at home on Tuesday, August 22nd. He's originally from Danville. Visitation will be at Saunders Funeral Home at 203 South 1st Street in Kingman on Monday, September 2nd, from 1 p.m. till the time of the service at 3 p.m., with celebrant Amanda Atkins officiate. Cremation will follow the service. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to the American Lung Association, 115 West Washington Street, Suite 1180 South, Indianapolis, Indiana, 426204. Shirley A. Lipowski, 85, of Danville, currently of Decatur, passed away at 12:59 a.m. on Tuesday, August 27th, at her home. Funeral services are noon on Friday, August 30th, at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, Illinois, with Mike Strunga officiating. Burial in Danville National Cemetery. Visitation from 11 to noon on Friday at Robeson Chapel. Charles V. Harris of Las Lunas, New Mexico, passed away Tuesday, August 20th, at the age of 91, after a long illness. He was originally from Danville. Arrangements are being handled by Caring. A memorial service will be at 11 a.m. August 31st at First United Methodist Church in Balin, New Mexico. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations in Chuck's name be made to the United Methodists in Balin or to a charity of your choice. Harriet L. Gildersleeve, 76, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, August 24th. A celebration of Harriet's life will be at 10 a.m. Friday, August 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with Pastor Jim Blue officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Sunset Memorial Park. Betty Jean Beck, 93, passed away peacefully March 5th, 2019, at Burton's Care Home in Rohnert Park in California. Warren and Betty's ashes are returning to Potomac Cemetery for burial. There will be a gravesite service for Warren and Betty at noon on Saturday, September 21st. Reverend Ann Schwartz of First Presbyterian Church in Danville will officiate. Arrangements by Blurton Funeral Homes in Potomac. Lunch will follow at our cousin Brian and Cindy Simpson Severs Farm at 28770 North 620 East Road in Potomac, Illinois, 61865. George Del Hay, lifelong resident of Westville, passed away on Tuesday, August 27th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 3 to 8 p.m. Saturday, August 31st at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 200 East West Street in Westville. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Sunday, September 1st at the Trinity United Church of Christ, 311 Moses Avenue in Westville, with Pastor David Roberts Mosser officiating. Burial will be in Sandusky Cemetery immediately following the service, with military rites accorded by the Westville American Legion Post 51. And Glenn Allen Simmons, 61, of Danville, died at 5:11 a.m. on Monday, August 26, at home. Memorial services will be from 2 to 5 p.m. on Friday at Sarge's Tap at 409 East Main Street in Danville. Wartburg Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Okay, kind of a slow news day, so I'll read a sports story here. It's titled Season Preview, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, Familiar Feel, and Experience on Defense Should Bode Well for Blue Devils This Fall. And there's a picture of Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, senior linebacker Jacob Atkins on the right is one of the key cogs back on defense for the Blue Devils, who opened the 2019 season at 7 p.m. on Friday at Iroquois West. And this is written by Colin Lycus in Bismarck. At this time 1 year ago, Mark Dodd's Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin football program owned one returning starter on either side of the ball. that alluded to the possibility an opposite situation might play out before the 2019 season. And it has, especially in the defensive depth chart. The Blue Devils return not only their top tackler from a 9-2 campaign, not just their leading two or three stoppers. Try 11 or 12 entering Friday's 7 p.m. Week 1 game at Iroquois West. From senior defensive end Chase Benjamin at 73 tackles to sophomore defensive end Mason Hackman at 32, BHRA boosts a defensive unit very familiar with its own abilities and tendencies. Talon Miller, Eric Watson, Caleb Leahy, Weston Strasser, Jacob Akins, Paul Ponnet, Avery McConkie, Brody Sexton, and Andrew Van Hovlin all fell between Benjamin and Hackman on last year's tackle chart, and all of them are back for at least one more season. "We were a little shaky last year," Benjamin said. We were all pretty young, so it took a while to get into the swing of things. But by the end of the year, we were pretty confident." Ponnet, a senior linebacker, accounted for 58 stops in 2018. He recognizes the potential benefit of the Blue Devil defense being flush with veterans. "Last year, no one really could lead us," he said. "Now this year, a lot of us are seniors, so we're stepping up from last year, and we're going to be a lot better." BHRA, on average, permitted 24.3 points per contest last season. That included 42 in the postseason defeat at Tuscola. While the Blue Devils certainly would like to drive that figure down, their big focus is the Lovie Smith special, flipping possession. "Our defensive coach, Corey Max, he always focuses a lot on turnovers. He said turnovers win games," Benjamin said. "Every week we have a turnover ratio, and we try to keep the turnover ratio more toward the defensive side." Some other early goals for the BHRA blockade include limiting foes to fewer than 150 rushing yards a game and trying to shut out Iroquois West in this week's opener. When Ponnet sees the strides he and his teammates have made, he has to acknowledge the importance of Max's sideline presence. He reads all the opponent's offense, and he basically shows us all of their offensive sets, and we defend them all the time, he said. "He won't end practice until we rep every single play and we've got them all perfectly down. Being comfortable with what could occur under the lights is an advantage now afforded to the BHRA defense as a result of little change to its ranks. We've already played together, so we know we're going to do well," Benjamin said. "We already know a lot of the calls, so we don't have to relearn everything. Just kind of refreshing rather than learning it again." With that in mind, Dodd slipped in a wrinkle to off-season preparation. Earlier in the summer, a Marine recruiter showed up to the Blue Devil practice to put the youngsters through the ringer physically. That included a team push-up for which one player's feet would rest on another player's shoulders in chain formation and an obstacle course that required team members to carry one another for a period of time. "It was pretty tough," Benjamin said. It's just going to help with our teamwork and camaraderie, and it also helps us get in better shape. If the defense clicks as Benjamin, Ponnet, and their pals expect it to, perhaps BHRA finally can surpass the Class 2A playoffs second round. It's been the Duke Blue Devils' stumbling point each of the last three go-arounds. Every single time we lift weights, we have our score that we lost by last year on the wall, he said. "We look at it every day. It motivates us very much." Okay, next I'll read Midwest Voices, CPR and other ways to help your fellow humans. Suppose you're walking down the street, eating at a restaurant, or doing your job at work. Someone slumps over unconscious. You suspect a heart attack, but do you know what to do? If you don't, that person may die before your eyes. This is one of those instances where you don't have time to tap your phone and do a Google search of what to do for a heart attack. Once a cardiac arrest takes place, brain damage occurs in about 3 minutes, and by 9 minutes, it's likely to be severe and irreversible. Being familiar with the techniques of CPR and putting them to use promptly can make a big difference in whether a heart attack victim survives. How big? In 2011, the Joint Commission reports only 3% of people in Chicago who suffered cardiac arrest outside a hospital survived. Today, the figure is 10%. The Tribune's John Kilman reports that scientists say the improvement came about because more bystanders are performing CPR in the crucial moments after a person's heart stops beating. The percentage of victims who got CPR from bystanders rose to 24% in 2016, nearly double the rate in 2014. In recent years, many 911 dispatchers have been trained on coaching bystanders to perform CPR. Another helpful change is that more places are equipped with defibrillators that can shock a heart back into normal rhythm. If you don't know how to perform CPR, maybe it's time to learn. Part of being a contributing member of a community is taking basic steps to help keep others healthy and alive. That means getting inoculated against contagious diseases such as measles and influenza to prevent harmful and even lethal pathogens from infecting those who, because of age, pregnancy, or health conditions such as a weakened immune system, have to avoid vaccines. It also means signing up to be an organ donor when you get a driver's license or state ID card. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Resources reported in January last year, organ donations rose by 4%, continuing an 18-year trend to record-setting donation. In Illinois, 6.7 million people, roughly half the current population, are registered to donate. But none of these unselfish potential donors are needed because 4,000 people are awaiting organ transplants. Learning CPR and putting it to use if the need arises is another of these easy ways to help your fellow human beings. If you don't know how, you can watch a video on the website of Illinois Heart Rescue at illinoisheartrescue.com/save-a-life basic training. Even better, you can take one of the many classes you can find online. There are all sorts of ways ordinary people can save lives. Being ready to do CPR is one of them. Okay, just a couple minutes left, so I'll just do some community briefs. In Danville, the Vermilion County Federation of Labor Day parade gets underway at 9:30 a.m. on the corner of Davis and Vermilion Street and proceeds south to Main Street, and this is on Monday, Labor Day. And Church Plants Dinner, Carter CME Church at 448 East William Street will serve a fish dinner beginning at 11 a.m. Friday until sold out. Costs will be $10. For delivery of 5 orders or more, call 446-3732. And Team to Play, join the Danville Area Community College Alumni Association for the DACC baseball game at Busch Stadium in St. Louis on September 15th against Olney Central College. The St. Louis Cardinals will host the Milwaukee Brewers in a 1:15 game, and the Jaguars will play 30 minutes after the end of the game. The $75 ticket includes a ticket to the both Cardinal games as well as the DACC game, free jumbo hot dog and soda, and transportation to and from Busch Stadium. Contact DACC baseball coach Tim Button at 217-443-8551 or email at tbunton, B-U-N-T-O-N, at dacc.edu to reserve a seat. And reunion scheduled, graduates of the former students of Bismarck Henning or Bismarck Henning High Schools are invited to gather at 5 p.m. on September 7th at Royal Buffet on Northwest Newell's Road to share a meal and memories. Previous attendees have represented classes spanning from 1942 to 1998. Make a reservation calling Nancy Cook at 446-9829, Hazel Rudolph at Devon at 655-1721, or Ben White at 759-7237. For more information, go to their Facebook page, Bismarck Henning Illinois High School Alumni. So that'll be it for today, August 29th, 2019. Looks like it's going to be a good day, but it's going to be a bad weekend, so be prepared. Hopefully everybody in Florida will be fine. My mom lives there, so I'm praying for her. So I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Happy Labor Day. Thanks. Bye.